All the executives that have been doing their jobs for the last 10 years and are bored are being moved around, he wrote Watson. All the corporate guys must be moved out and around. We needed and are getting a corporate takeover from the inside. I have worked for a decade at ABC and almost as long at Paramount. I saw what happened when people got bored. They cannot. We cannot let them. We must make the changes to keep everybody excited and working hard. This is founding a new company under the same principles and culture. So the pressure on me is great. I feel without me today, it all falls apart. It isn't clear whether Watson shared the letter with any other board members, but that spring, Eisner began implementing an extensive corporate reorganization, the renewal he'd been talking about with Wells. Sandy Litvak took Wells' place as Eisner's confidant and sounding board as he talked endlessly about shuffling personnel among the various divisions. To some extent, the timing of the reorganization was forced upon him when Rich Frank, who was now reporting directly to Eisner as head of the television division and had parlayed Home Improvement into such a success, reminded Eisner that he had a provision in his contract that, if Katzenberg left and Frank didn't succeed him, allowed Frank to leave the company with his retirement benefits and stock options intact. This provision had been retained when Frank accepted the title of chairman of the television group. Since then, he'd been disappointed at the failure to acquire a network and clashed repeatedly with Larry Murphy as well as Eisner himself. When Frank finally told Eisner he had decided to leave, Eisner retorted, "You can't. I won't let you." "I can and I will," Frank replied. "If you walk out that door, you're going to have to sue me to get your stock options and other benefits," Eisner said. But he backed down after Frank promised not to join Katzenberg at DreamWorks and agreed to pay the approximately $30 million in stock options due him. Eisner called a meeting of all division heads that afternoon. Michael Johnson, who ran Home Video International, asked Ann Daly, head of U.S. Home Video, what was up. "Rich is leaving and they're naming Dennis Hightower," she said.
"That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard," Johnson replied.
Johnson knew Hightower well, since Hightower was the head of consumer products for Europe and the Middle East. A former executive recruiter, he was articulate, good-looking, and had earned a Harvard MBA. There was speculation that he was a former CIA agent, but no one had been able to confirm that. He had no television or other entertainment experience. Hightower later said he could not comment on whether he was working for the CIA, but said he spent 8 years working in the military, performing, quote, "airborne, infantry, and strategic operations in the U.S. and abroad as a ranger and a senior parachutist, conducting counterintelligence and collections. You know what that means," unquote. But then Eisner walked in with Hightower in tow. He made the announcement, adding, "Dennis is the man. He's going to be the next great Hollywood executive." It was another of Eisner's impetuous personnel decisions, further evidence of his firm belief that a good executive can run anything. Hightower's operation in Europe had indeed done well on the strength of Beauty and the Beast and Lion King merchandise. Still, many thought Hightower was simply fortunate to have been in the right place when such hit movies spurred a consumer products bonanza, and that living in Europe